Matthew's Gospel 28 is our text. Are we there? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the move of the Holy Ghost. We thank you because things are falling off as your own things have been picked up this morning. We thank you because in every of the hearts, life seated here this morning, there is the light of your word and of your spirit shining to strengthen, to cause us to have courage, to see and to walk in your plans and purposes. We ask that this morning, by your word, there will be clarity in our hearts tomorrow. We will come to a more precise apposition of that blessed reality, the inheritance, the work, the ministry, the assignment, and the supply that you have made available to us by your Spirit in your Son Jesus Christ. We ask that this morning, just as there is no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding, but every heart will be open, the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Will we all be, O Jesus? And as we see him, we will see ourselves as he sees all in him. We ask that this morning we'll be nourished up in the words of faith, we'll be built up together as a church. In our walk you will be glorified, and in our meeting this morning will we all be edified. We ask this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Glory to God. So I'll have a brief teaching session this morning. Is it clear? Okay. Then in the afternoon, we have a form of a Holy Ghost meeting. Are we together? We'll give expression. Spirit. You see, one of the things that this conference serves is that it becomes an atmosphere where the things of the Spirit are also stirred up in your life. Are we together? I'll talk a little bit about that in the afternoon. The Spirit are stirred up in your life. The gifts of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, yieldedness to the Spirit. By God's Spirit, we are helped in the course of this meeting to have those things what? Stirred up. Is it clear? Is it clear? You know, when we say no struggles, it is going to be by the Spirit. Hallelujah. It's going to be by the Holy Ghost. So we give room to the things of the Spirit. We have that in the afternoon. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel is our text, 28:18. It is, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Then it says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we said the word power. Are we together? Don't forget where we stopped yesterday night. Right? Right? So we saw the word power, as mentioned in Matthew 28:18, is translated authority. It is the word exousia in the Greek. Exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. I take it again. E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Exousia. Exousia is used for authority, or what we can call a right. Are we together? Or a privilege. That's exousia. So KJV translates, because, you know, because of the lack of, you know, language barrier, rather, because of language barrier. The right word there should be authority, not power, because they are two different things. Are we together? So it is all authority. All authority. The same word was used in Luke chapter 10. If you look at Luke's Gospel chapter 10, glory to God. In Luke 10, and then in verse 17, Luke 10:17, he says, behold, I give unto you power. Are we together? He says, to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. So when he says, I give unto you power, the word power there again is the word authority. Are we together? Authority. I give you authority over. Is it clear? So the believer has authority over, according to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. Now, in Matthew 28, don't forget we said yesterday in the evening that the Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, was a summary, right? Can I have our students again? Were you here yesterday? All right, so I need that authority given to me. We said that text of verse 18 to 20 was a summary of how many days teaching? 40 days teaching. Are we together? 40 days teaching, we'll see similar accounts of other synoptic writers. In Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44, I think down to verse 50. Let's just land it at 50, actually 49, but verse 50. Are we together? And then Acts also, Luke repeats that in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, 8. Are we together? Particularly 8, but 7, 8, and then you also have, you shall be witnesses of me. Are we together? Acts 1, verse 7, 8. Amen? Then in Mark's Gospel, it is rendered in Mark 16, verse 14 to 20. Mark 16, verse 14 to 20. And then in John, it is rendered in John chapter 20, from verse 21. Are we together? Amen. Those are the summaries that you find the way each of these writers summarize the 40-day teachings. You'll find it in the text I just gave you. Praise the Lord. So we also said that the authority is the authority of Genesis. Don't forget. The authority is the authority of Genesis. Why? Because Jesus says heaven and earth. By saying heaven and earth, he wants you to go into, are we together? Genesis. Are we together? He wants you to go there. So he says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And I told you that heaven and earth there were mentioned as a singular entity. Do you recall? Not a dual entity. Not a separate entity, but a singular entity. Heaven and earth, a singular entity. So if you go into Genesis 1, that means there's an authority that is spoken of in Genesis. Are we together? And Jesus rises from the dead. He says, I have that authority. Is it clear? There's an authority that is spoken of in the book of Genesis. Now, when Moses writes Genesis, use illustrations, right? He will use parables, right? And there's a reason why he used parables, because of the state of heart of his audience. Are we together? Howbeit, the parables will be an answer to the perplexing questions in their heart. Is it clear? Those questions will be reflected in the manner of conduct and manner of lifestyle you see in them. But it's a question that, but because of the state of their heart, he will have to employ the use of illustrations. Are we together? Dark sayings. Do you remember? Shiddah. And then we also have Mashal, that is parable. In fact, the writer of Psalm 78 said, this parables, this Mashal, he says, is as of the days of old. He says, which our fathers have taught us. Our fathers, in that text I showed us yesterday, we refer to men like Abraham. Are we together? Abraham. Now, some say, why is the father not Moses? Moses. Abraham preceded Moses. Are we together? Abraham preceded Moses. You are seeing Moses first because you are reading his book. But you actually see Abraham first. Are we together? Are we together? Because what Moses is writing is the fulfillment of God's word to Abraham. Do you get what I said? So when he says our fathers, then he says it should be Moses. Calm down. Our fathers there refers to what? Is of Abraham. Even Noah. It preceded Moses. Is it clear? Moses only employed a style that they had been used to in communicating God's word, including the writer of Psalms. Are we together? So when he says, utter, I will open my mouth, I will speak in parables, I will utter dark sayings, Psalm 70. We said, the right, the use of illustrations to explain God's truth. Now he says, which you have heard and have known, and our fathers have told us of old. Our fathers of old. So it refers to a period even before Moses. Are we together? But captured in the book of Moses. Is it clear? Period before the day of Moses, the days of Moses, the book of Moses. So Moses will use illustrations to explain God's truth. That means if we go into Genesis, the authority that Jesus spoke about, we will find it in an illustrative manner. Are we together? We will find it in an illustrative manner. But it won't be less authority, but it will be in an illustrative manner. So in Genesis chapter 1, we'll see in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Are we together? Now, obviously, don't let English, are we together, distract you. I mean, the use of the word, the article, okay? You know, if you are reading today, you read the heaven, the earth. D
the use of the word the,
are we together?
Which is simply the translator's work. But it has a way of splitting what is being said.
Are we together?
Where you begin to see heaven and earth differently. In the Greeks, in the Hebrew rather, what you actually have is heaven and earth.
Are we together?
So if you check your concordances, where the Greek words are usually attached to every word that is used, you won't find a Greek word for the. You only find the Greek word for what? Or the Hebrew word for what? Heaven and what? Earth. Is it clear? Is it clear? No, no, no. The scripture says the heaven and the earth. Come. The heaven is actually the word heaven. The earth is actually the word what? Earth. Is it clear? Alright. So in the beginning, God created what? Heaven and earth. Do you get it? Very simple. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I remember in our last camp meeting, I took time to explain the word beginning, right? I won't do that now. So it is God's creation that the Bible opens up with is a combination, are we together, or a union of heaven and earth. So he goes further in verse 2. He takes, we later saw in Jeremiah as referring to a people, right? Jeremiah 4. He says, and the earth was void, and was without form rather, and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. I told you, face of the deep here, face, heart, are we together, of the waters, nations. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the water. I showed you the word move on the face of the water, which means to brood upon, to seek entry. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So you observe that God's utterance of let there be light flows with the Spirit of God on the waters. Are we together? So the Spirit refers to how of the light. This is how the light came by the Spirit. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from darkness. Are we together? So in God's plan, light and darkness are separate entities. Now obviously I told you, this was not the physical creation of day and night. Are we together? Because later on in verse 14, you now see where God now said in day 4, he says, let there be light in the firmament. So whatever you are reading in verse 4, light and darkness, is not referring to the physical light and darkness. Are we together? How did Jeremiah explain it? Jeremiah explains it in chapter 4. He calls it the people that are wise to do evil. Are we together? And then he says, to do good, they do not what? They do not know. So they don't know how to do good. He says they are foolish children. They are suchish. So it shows you that when it comes to God's counsel, they are dull in their mind. But when it comes to evil things, they are smart. We have people like that in our generation too. Are we together? Are we together? Dull when it comes to the things of God. See, I'm not dull. Yeah. That's why sometimes my heart bleeds. I see some Christians act dull in the things of the Spirit. No. Those are your things. Are we together? Those are your things. A Christian must not be dull in the things of the Spirit. Must be smart. Must be alert. Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, spirituals, I would not have you to be ignorant. That is, I would not have you to be dull. I would not have intelligence. I would not have you to not be smart about the things of God. So a believer in Christ ought to be smart about the things of God, ought to be knowledgeable, ought to be intelligent, ought to be diligent in the things of God. Glory to God forevermore. So Jeremiah spoke of the audience of Moses. Are we together? The kind of audience that Moses describes, Jeremiah also describes them as a people that were sottish. I told you, being sottish, not give attention to the right knowledge, and it will be seen in how they were going about looking for false practices and false worships. Are we together? Idol worship. They were a people in idol worship. Hallelujah. So, in God's heaven and earth, it will be light. Right? In God's heaven and earth, it will be what? It will be light. It will not be darkness. Amen. You see, later on, the New Testament writers will now employ that narrative to describe us as children of light. Or a kingdom of light. Are we together? a kingdom of light. Why? I told you, all of them are teaching from where? The Old Testament. So when you hear children of light, don't just think children of light, children of light, children of light. That means, oh, children of light. Wow, wow, wow. That means light, light, light. I mean, oh. That means, oh, we are the tech people. We are the people with intelligence, civilization, modernism. That is not light. That modernism can be the darkness. Are we together? Because darkness there talks about the use of an intelligence that opposes God's wisdom. Is it clear? Alright. So the light is explained within the scriptures. The light is explained within the scriptures. It's not talking about being woke. Someone say, we are currently in the Gen Z generation where, you know, there is light everywhere. But I looked at him, he was talking about darkness. He was talking about, you know, an unruly generation that has no culture, quick to slander and oppose and ruin images, reputations, has no honor for symbols of authority, does not respect parents, does not respect people in terms of affairs, find it very easy to open their mouth and lash at governments. That is a foolish generation. Are we together? That's a foolish generation. A Christian is not found doing that. No matter what goes on in the world, there is a way the Christian approaches it. Are we together? There is a way the Christian approaches it. So you find a lot of them on Twitter, on anything goes. No. Generation that has no caution, are we together, is not led of God. That is why sometimes when you're talking to people and you start giving instructions of things not to do, no. Even Christians, they think that, oh, we are not under the law. We are not under the law. That's a foolish statement. You are under the law. And the law is called the law of the spirit of life. Are we together? Are we together? I spoke to someone who said, but we are not under the law. I said, what is the law? No, what's the law? What's the law? You are not under the law, so you become lawless. No, we are also governed by reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When Paul said we are not under the law, he was talking about a kind of law, the law of the spirit. You are bound. You are bound. You can't do anything without, are we together? The motions of sins that rises up in your heart. But it is Christ that set us free from it. He has made us free. Now the Spirit of God dwells in our heart. He also governs our walk. And I that one of the signs of the Spirit of God walking in your life, what we call the fruits of the Spirit, what we call the signs of spiritual growth, one of the signs of spiritual growth, the sign that you are growing and the Spirit of God, the sign that God is walking in your life, is self-control. Self-control. That means I want to do this. But he said, no, I won't do it. Are we together? So when you tell some Christians, don't do it. He said, you are limiting me. No, they are not limiting you. Caution is a proof that the Spirit of God is at work in your life. Caution. Caution. That sometimes will be in the afternoon. Are we together, church? So these people, darkness, Moses refers to, Jeremiah calls them a people that have no knowledge. Hallelujah. He calls them a disobedient child. A disobedient children, rather. Children of disobedience. Amen. So we saw yesterday that the writer of the books of the Bible, especially Moses, would use Adam to explain how man falls into what? Sin. Amen. So you must know why mention Adam. Adam was not mentioned to explain how we all have inherited sin. I told you, there is nothing like inherited sin. Are we together? That doctrine is born out of improper reading of the scriptures. Adam's sin. Automatically all of us are sinners. No. Are we together? Are we together? Men become sinners by the act of their own doing, their choice. That is why men are punished for it. Is it clear? The salvation in Christ is also not automatic. Amen. If you teach automatic sin, then we can say God died for our sins. It's also automatic, but it is not. Romans 5:19, I showed us yesterday. By the offense of one, many what? Were dead. He didn't say all were dead. Many were dead. Are we together? By the time you check the many, from verse 12 of Romans chapter 5, he spoke about a people that were found committing the same sin. So the many will include Cain, but they include Abel. Is it clear? That is why you observe all with Abraham. Did you observe God never mentioned sin? He never mentioned sin. He never mentioned forgiveness of sin to Abraham. Are we together? In fact, Abraham was called righteous. Are we there? So we need and look again at our study, understanding of the sin issue. Is there something like universal sin? And when we say a universal sin, what and how? Are we together? With that doctrine that, oh, because Adam sinned, all of us are in trouble. No, no, no. You defeat the reason for mentioning Adam by reaching that conclusion. Adam was mentioned to show us how man, are we together, sins, or what sin is, or the sin that brings separation between man and God, what sin it is. The mention of Adam by Moses was not intended to show us where we all inherit sin, was to show us how sin comes about. So it shows us that sin is by disobedience. It was to illustrate how men stray away from God's plan. Are we together? How does a man stray away from God's plan? That was Moses' intention when he mentioned Adam. Moses' intention when he mentioned Adam was not to show us how we inherit sin. No. Is it clear? So he calls it disobedience. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 17, God spoke to Adam. He says, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife to eat of the tree which I said thou should not eat, you have not obeyed my voice. Are we together? So Adam's sin, the sin of Adam, are we together, is the sin of disobedience. The sin of disobedience. And we will find that part also in our world today. Romans 5 verse 19, which you saw yesterday, we saw disobedience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, it has to be 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and then in verse 5, he says, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and everything that exalts itself in knowledge of God, verse 5, he says, bringing into captivity every thought to the what? Obedience of Christ. So faith in the gospel is explained as obedience of Christ. Are we together? Or obedience to Christ. Then it says in 6, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Are we together? So it talks about obedience in the gospel, and unbelief in the gospel is also explained as disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 2, again, we'll find the same thing. Ephesians chapter 2, if you read from verse 17, he says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards what who believe. To us what who believed. So we have believed. Are we together? Paul is writing to believers. To us what who believe, he says there is an exceeding greatness of God's power. Us what who believe. Us what who believe, we who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1, and you who believe. He says, as who were dead in trespasses and sins. Look into your Bibles, please. Your Bible is not the decoration. He says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 now. In time past, someone say in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Are we together? Now, this air is not the oxygen we're breathing. Amen. He's talking about the supernatural world. He says, the spirit, so the prince of the power of the air is a spirit. The spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So, children of disobedience. Look at what he calls them again in verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So he says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of your own self, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God before, he says, ordained that we should walk in them. So he says, the children of disobedience. He says, the children of wrath. Are we together? Children of wrath, children of disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at what he calls the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says in verse 8, for you sometimes were darkness. Did you see that? It takes us back to Genesis now. Did you see that? It says, for you were sometimes darkness. So darkness on the face of the waters. Are you seeing that? It says you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Anytime you see light and darkness, the writer is teaching from the Old Testament. Is it clear? I told you that if you were to be in his audience, a portion of the Bible that will be open into your hands will be the 39 books of the Old Testament. The book of Ephesians will not be open in your hands, because he is just saying that. Are we together? Are we together? So he says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord? Say, I am light in the Lord. Then he says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, actually the fruit of light, that's a proper translation. For light, or we can say, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, it is righteousness and truth. Are we together? The moment he mentions righteousness, he says, the fruit of the light is righteousness. Why? Because light is God setting things aright. That's righteousness. God sets things aright through the light. So he says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, verse 11, can we take it together, everyone wants to go. He says, and having no what? Fellowship with unfruitful works of what? Darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them. Having no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Are we together? Look at 13. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding the will of what the will of the Lord is. So understanding the will of the Lord is what it means by walking in the light. Because you have been brought into his will, into light, walk in it. Is it clear? So light and darkness are employed by all Bible writers to teach what Moses was teaching. Why? Because they could find a similarity of Moses' audience in their own world also. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Verse 6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Children of disobedience will be that waters covered with what? Darkness. Colossians chapter 3, and then in verse 6. Again, he says, for which things sake? For what things sake? He says, mortify therefore your members, verse 5, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. He says, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. Observe the use of past tenses. Is it clear? This is in the past. So he says, you were once also children of disobedience, or a child of disobedience. Are we together? It says, as some. Hallelujah. But now he says, you are light in the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 2. I showed that text yesterday. Moses' audience. So we said, Adam's sin was a pattern. A pattern. Adam's sin was a pattern, not source. Adam's sin was a pattern to show how Israel had also sinned. Because the nation of Israel was the audience of that teaching. Is it clear? Okay? Cain and Abel will also be taught as a pattern of faith and unbelief. Pattern. Recognize patterns. Recognize sources. Are we together? Are we together? Thank you. So God's intervention will be to restore man to, can we say Eden? But is it literal? Okay. What will the Eden be? Will it be God's land? God's sacred place? Can we call it God's land? God's space? God's land? God's plan? God's will? God's mission? God's assignment? God's assignment? Look at this. Being saved today is a restoration into an assignment. Do you get it? God is bringing us into what? An assignment. Amen? We'll get there. So, God's intervention, just like with Moses, or with Jeremiah, or with who now? God's intervention with man will be for man to his plan. I told us yesterday, I'll ask my questions. I'm an examiner, don't mind. I'm an examiner. I'm actually an examiner. Praise God. Now, so that means I give information, I get my information back. Is it clear? So look at this. The Genesis 1:1, like I said, and if you're a good student, exams. Is it clear? Alright. Because I'll just ask the same thing I said. I'll just ask it. So I said, the Genesis 1 verse 1, a one-time work or God's repetitive work on the earth? You are fast. Are we together? Are we together? So, notice that Moses wrote the book and titled it what? Genesis. What does Genesis mean? A new beginning. Are we together? Why does it title the book New Beginning? Because it makes the first book, New Beginning, showing you this is what you will read throughout the entire Bible. You will see many new beginnings. Because that is what God does on the earth. Anytime God intervenes amongst man, he brings about a restoration, a new beginning. So Genesis is a theme of the entire scriptures. Because he repeats that with Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? He repeats that with Jesus, a new beginning. A new beginning. A new beginning. If our time will not permit me, I would have shown you about 50 to 80 Genesis in the Bible to show you that Moses was writing, this is God's character on the earth. So he's writing about God's faithfulness, and he's saying that he has visited us again, just like he does. So you will see a Genesis with Noah. Are we together? A new beginning. A Genesis with Noah. In Nehemiah, you will see a Genesis. Are we together? You will see a Genesis. And to have a Genesis, that means you have an Exodus. God will bring a people out to create a new beginning with them. So what you are leading is God's character, not story. This is what God does in generations of humanity, including 500 years after our time. That is what God does. The book of Genesis is a book of God's plan. Or you can call it a book of God's character. If he will not do it once, he will always do it. That is why he is called faithful. Because anytime he shows up, we know what he will do. Even when people had misbehaved, Israel had misbehaved, you know, after spending years. Just read the book of Judges. You know what I'm talking about. Go and read the book of Judges during the break. You know exactly what I'm talking about. In the book of Judges alone, Israel was restored several times, more than 10 times, in different years, some 40 years, some 80 years, some 90 years. God will visit them again and bring about an exodus for the sake of a particular Genesis. Is it clear? Is it clear? So the event is Exodus, but what God was doing in the Exodus is the Genesis. That's what Moses was doing. Are we together? Are we together? Moses is saying, hey, he has brought us a Genesis, a new beginning, like he always do. Like he does. Are we together? Like he will always do. So he has brought us a new Genesis. Hey, God has brought us a new Genesis. Why did we need a Genesis? Look at your state. Look at this. How did we get here? Look at Adam. That's what you also did. Do you believe? And some of the guys believe. Some did not believe. The Bible even called them a stiff-necked people. So that means they were really hard-hearted. Are we there? Yes. So God's intervention will always be to restore man to his plan. To restore man to his plan. To restore man to his plan. To reborn man. Are we together? To rebirth us. Not because we were not born before, but because this new birth is according to his plan. He brings us afresh into his plan. Jesus called it born again. We'll get there. Are we together? Are we there? So look at this. That's why he said, except you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom or enter the kingdom. Kingdom has to do with activities. He's telling you being born again is an entering into activities. Are we there? Are we there? So, how will God restore man into this plan? Moses then says in Genesis 1:26. So, Genesis 1 is a book of God's plan. A book of God. We can go on and on and look at each text and gain what it's talking about. But the foundation of is a book of God's plan. For example, you see, he says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide waters from the waters. So he separates waters from the waters. Are we together? Then look at this. He called the firmament, he says, that were divided, which were under the firmament. And God made the firmament, divided waters, which were under the firmament, from waters above the firmament. He says it was so. So we see a distinction of waters from waters. He will separate nations from nations because he is about to bring Israel out of Egypt. Are we together? Nations from nations. He separates waters with light from the rest. So waters from waters. He called the firmament heaven. In the evening and the morning was the second day. Let the waters under the earth be gathered into one place. Then he says, let the dry land appear. So he uses the dry land also as an illustration. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So he uses the way, you know, God made the earth to bring forth grass to teach the multiplicity also of his plan. That is why he said, the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. That means the seed concept will be continuity. Are we together? Upon the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. God saw that it was good. So later on, We now saw in verse 26, he says, and God said, let us make man in our image. He says, after our likeness, let them have dominion, let them have, let us make man, let them have. So this man is not a male gender, but humanity. Is it clear? Let us make man, let them have, let them have. That's humanity. Let them have dominion. So the question is, which man will have authority or dominion? The man in the image of God. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So I told you, by mentioning fish of the sea, he had referred to a region under the earth. The sea is under the earth. Are we together? Are we together? You will have to listen to New Testament writers to show you the perfection of what Moses was talking about. By saying the birds in the air, the fowls on the air, he already refers to the supernatural realm. Are we together? A firmament superior to our earthly space. Then by mentioning the earth, are we together? It deals with exists around man. Amen. I said amen. So the man who will have dominion is the man in God's image. So the question, don't forget the question we are trying to answer. How will he do this? How will he restore man to his plan? We have said God's intervention will be to restore man to his plan. How will he do it? Moses says, man will be in his image. Are we together? And the man in his image will have dominion. Later on, he spoke in chapter 3 and verse 16. When God spoke to the woman in Genesis chapter 3 and then verse 16. He says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou art hearkening unto the voice of thy wife. Before then, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. A lot of translation works in there to be done there. Are we together? So he says, there will be enmity between the serpent and the seed of the woman. Then he says, the seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. Are we together? Shall bruise the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. Now the word head there is the word rosh in the Hebrew. R-U-S-H. Rosh. Are we together? Or R-O-S-H. Rosh is actually R-O. R-O-S-H. Rosh. And rosh is used for authority. What leads? Are we together? There every other thing is coordinated from. Literally it refers to head. But in language, it's also used for the greatest point of strength. Are we together? Now, he uses a language that is audience understood, that to kill a serpent, you just need to break his head. Are we together? So he uses that analogy to show how the seed of the woman will render the serpent, what? Powerless. Are we together? Powerless. He shall bruise the head of the serpent. Now, if you look at the next statement, which I did a lot of work in explaining the last conference. If you look at the next statement, it says, and it shall bruise his heel. So it looks like, give me, I give you. Right? You bruise my head, may I bruise your heel. No. It was a wrong translation. If you check the originals very well, which all of you can check. Are we together? If you check, there's nothing I'm saying that you all can verify. Nothing. Are we together? So if you check the originals very well, it is the woman that is bruising the head of the serpent that is also bruising his heel. Are we together? Now, look at this. There is nothing that told you that the serpent is a snake. You are the one eating snake. Is it clear? In fact, the writer of Hebrews and Revelation, rather, when he mentioned the serpent, he actually mentioned a dragon. You are the one eating snake. You know, we read our mind into the Bible a lot. But it's okay, it's not a sin. Is it clear? You will just not get what the writer is saying. The serpent is talking about there was a kind of supernatural, was an imagery of a supernatural being that Egypt recognized. The serpent. It is one that had ewes. It's usually, actually, in mythology, ancient knowledge, it is used to describe a particular beast, are we together, that has an ancient wisdom based on experience. Are we together? So the writer of Revelation will just say dragon. So it is one that has it as healed. Are we together? Are we together? So when he says the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent, it is the same seed that is bruising his heel. The reason why our interpretation of the serpent bruising his heel, are we together, made sense, was because we felt that Jesus was killed. Are we together? But hear me clearly. When God made that statement to Adam, is it clear? What was Jesus in Adam's mind? Obviously no. Now, when Moses was writing that text, was Jesus in Moses' mind as Jesus? Did he know him? Did he see him? If you ask Moses, how would Jesus look like? Will he be able to describe him? Together. So learn to situate conversations within their text and don't be agitated. The scriptures will clear themselves. It will clear itself. You don't have to start thinking for the scriptures. They will clear themselves. Is it clear? So when he says, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, it is the same seed that is bruising the heel. Because the word used for heel there in Genesis chapter 3 is used for what follows. Heel. What follows. Are we together? That which follows. That's the heel. So the head goes first. Are we together? Then the heel follows. So it says it will bruise the head and bruise the heel. The writer of Hebrews will use the same text to teach how that Jesus destroyed what? Sin. And by destroying sin, he takes care of what follows. Death. Are we together? So he ruins sin. So sin looks like the head. That's the power of what? Death. So the head refers to the cost. The heel is what follows, the wages. The wages of sin is what? Death. Paul is teaching from that text. Are we together? Are we together? So it is the seed of the woman. It's not give me, I give you. 50-50. Maybe it's 50-50. Then what's the victory? I end you, you kill me. No. It's not Goliath and David. Are we together? Are we together? So the seed of the woman, which bruises the head of the serpent, is the one that bruises his heel. He talks about mopping off the work of Satan finally. Mopping it away. He cleared it out. Are we together? Are we together? So look at this. John. Now John did a special work on Jesus. You see that in the four gospels. So in his epistles, he now said, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest. He is teaching the seed of the woman. He is teaching from Genesis. Really, it was John that said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. John had a very special way of writing. He does not write like other apostles. Are we together? John didn't write like Matthew. He didn't go into genealogies. He didn't go to genealogies. Are we together? If you read John chapter 20 verse 31, look at that text. John 20. Are we there? Are we there? John 20. Are we together? Look at verse 31. Or you read verse 30. Let's read together. John 20, 30. Want to go? Oh, come on. Can you read together? Want to go? Who read together? Want to go? Now look at 31. But these are what? Look at what John is saying. John is saying, I didn't write some things. Right? Look at the one he now wrote. Look at what he said about it. Read it, verse 31. Did you see that? John is saying that, I don't know how others wrote it, But the reason why me I wrote is so that you can see the focus of John was to prove Jesus as God. Are we together? Look at the reason he wrote. You see that in Luke 1 verse 1. He was writing to a very wealthy guy, Theophilus, who had gotten saved through him. Actually, Luke was a doctor. Are we together? And Theophilus was believed historically to be his benefactor. Theophilus was like that philanthropist who saw young people needing help and decided to sponsor Luke into the medical school. So Luke gets into school, he meets the gospel, he becomes born again. You know, Luke was a disciple of Paul, right? He was the one who wrote the book of Acts. So Theophilus comes and receives the gospel around him or through him. So he decides to put together an account about the Jesus that Theophilus has received. That's the reason for the book of Luke 1. Luke, is it clear? And that's why the book of Acts also started with, "O former Theophilus, have I written, O Theophilus, of all the things that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up." So he said, "O former Theophilus," that is, this is a follow-up material. So he writes that same book of Luke and the book of Acts, he writes to the same audience, Theophilus. Is it clear? Mark also had the way, the reason why he wrote. Mark had the reason why he wrote. Then, what is it? Matthew also. Matthew deliberately wanted to trace Jesus. Matthew wanted to show us that Jesus was the seed of Abraham. Matthew's focus is to show us that, hey, now I told you that he writes after Jesus has risen from the dead. So his writing haven't gained perfect knowledge of everything. So the focus of Matthew was to say, hey, this Jesus, he has come to complete something God told Abraham. That is why he said, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham. Was that how we started? So John is telling you, this is why me I'm writing. To prove that Jesus is God in the flesh. That was why he started his account that way. He didn't bother going to genealogy. In the beginning was the Word. He just started out. Are we together? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything that was made that was made. In him was life. The light was light of men, and the light shines in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. It says there was a man sent from God. His name is John. It says he kept. It was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light that lighted every man that comes into the world. He was in the world did not know him. He came unto his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Are we together? In verse 14, was made what? Flesh. So if you are reading John, John doesn't have time. He just throws it at you. This one is God. That was why I told you that John wrote less miracles than the rest. And the miracles he wrote, he selected them. He wrote several miracles. The very miracles that pointed to Jesus as Lord, as God. It was in his book that you will see Jesus open the eyes of the blind and say, "I am the light." Oh, so he is the Genesis. He is the one spoken of in Genesis. That's the way John writes. When he wrote, which was another miracle, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Are we together? I'm the resurrection and the life. He opened the eyes of Bartimaeus. He says, "I am the light of the world." Are we together? He turns water to wine. The Jews understood, are we together, that he was speaking of the Spirit. Giving a new wine. Giving a new wine. Are we together? That is, there's a newness that is coming. That is why, that was the first miracle. And John categorically stated, this he demonstrated, beginning his glory. To show forth his glory. So he started with that miracle. To show forth, he is the one that comes with a new wine, a newness, a new experience. Are we together? So when you look at the miracles of Jesus, another miracle that he focused on was the bread and fish. Look at what he said after. "Come and eat me, or else no life." So the miracles of John were to focus on the fact that this is our God in human flesh. Are we together? So you listen to John. You read John. You will come into conclusion. That's why he will say things like, I am one with the Father. In that day, I will come to live in you. Live in us. John focused on the teachings of Jesus that showed him as deity. That was the focus of John's writing. So notice, are we together? As you read on. So John, in his epistles, in 1 John 3, he now speaks of that seed of woman. He calls it the Son of God. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy what? The works of the devil. So destroy the works of the devil then fulfills that word in Genesis. He will bruise the head of the serpent and bruise his heel. Are we together? He shall bruise the head of the serpent and bruise his heel. So he takes care of Satan. He takes care of the power. Are we together? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 2. Quickly. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Are you there? Are you there? Now look at verse 6. Or look at verse 5. I want us to read loudly and clearly. Want to go? For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Everyone, are we there? So let's read together. I want to go. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man that thou be dead? In verse 7. Thou made it a little while on the angels, thou crying glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hand. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things under subjection under his feet. For him that they put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under man. You know what he's telling you? We are like trying to look at where that thing was fulfilled. Is it clear? So look at verse 9. But we see who? Jesus. Oh. Who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for this, for every what? Man. Can we take 10 together? For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect to suffering. Verse 11. Verse 12. Verse 13. Now, can we take verse 14 and 15 together? And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime spots unto bondage. So he might through death destroy him that had the power of death. Are we together? That is ruining the head of the serpent and taking care of what? Of his heel as well. Brushing the head, bruising the hair. Are we together? And bruising his heel. So it's not a 50-50 thing. It's a flawless victory. You know mortal combat? Flawless. Are we together? It's a flawless victory. Glory to God forevermore. So look at this. Moses is saying that God's intervention will be through man in the image of God. We saw yesterday that man in the image of God is who? The man in the image of God today is who? Is who? Is Jesus, right? Then the seed of the woman also refers to who? Also refers to who? We also find out fulfilled in Christ also. Jesus fulfills man in the image of God. Jesus fulfills the seed of the woman. Are we together? The seed of the woman. That shows you that God's plan in the earth or in the nations is what is described as heaven and earth. And then he will continue his plan with man. Is why we have the word seed used. The use of the word seed also describes the multiplicity of his plan. I explained this last year. So man will function in God's image. Are we together? In his likeness, man will have all of God's resources and assets to carry out God's work on the earth. Which man? The man in his image. Now, when you are reading man in my image, or man in our image, man in our likeness, you know, we have used the word, let us make man in our image to describe. Someone say, oh, That means God looks like how we look. Are we together? To look like how we look physically, how will he look? Praise God. Praise God. As I'm standing here right now, I can see different complexions. Are we together? I can see different shapes of faces and heads. How will God's own look like? Are we there? The image of God is not referring to your physical appearance. Someone said that means God has two eyes. What is he doing with it? Are we together? Are we together? When God sees my heart, is he the one that is pumping blood? We must ask what is his blood group. Are we together? Maybe God is AA or AB or this makes sense now. Maybe God is all the blood groups. When he says image, we have led our minds into the Bible. Are we together? The audience understood image is an idol worshipping terminology. Are we together? Because that was their background. So God uses a terminology they understood to communicate his own plan. Are we together? Just like it does. Someone say, how will God use an idol worshipping term to communicate his plan? He also uses our human language to communicate his words. God will always use what he finds. That is why he is God. Are we together? Are we together? I talk to people who are anyhow. You judge people. You come at people and all. See, you find some people who are so quick to judge men of God. To judge men of God. Now, I'm not giving an excuse for misbehaving. Is it clear? This is not an excuse for acting in the flesh and allowing your habit and your flesh to ruin your life and your ministry. No! But let me tell you something. That man of God you are coming against, he is the one God has. Don't say, why will God use a man? Is he not using you? Is God not using you? Is anybody not using you? So we tell you outside. God uses what he finds. Why? Because God wants to heal. God wants to bless. God wants to deliver. He always wants to do something. He will make use of what he has. That is the compassion of our God. Are we together? So let me tell you somebody. God can use you. Is it clear? Sometimes some people think, they have done some things in their past lives that they are no more useful to God. It is not true. In the Bible, God used a prostitute. God used a prostitute. You know, we don't like that part of violation. But it's the Bible. God used a prostitute. God used Rahab. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Notice. Now, you will not know if you don't study your Bible very well that the woman that came to Jesus, are we together? That poured oil on him and used her hair to wipe his feet. Notice the Pharisees looked at her and looked at Jesus and said, what is he doing with the prostitute, right? But if you read another account, it was clear that the woman brought an alabaster box, the woman wherein he had casted out many devils. Are we together? Are we together? So again, if you read again, you observe another text shows you that was Mary Magdalene. Right? Notice that it was the Mary Magdalene that came to the tomb. Right? That Jesus now sent to his what? So no matter how much you esteem the apostles, Jesus made a prostitute an apostle to the apostles. That destroys your theology, right? See, there is nobody God cannot use. Are we together? Use any yielded vessel. Is it clear? And they will keep using as long as the vessel is what? Is yielded. Don't say, God should not make me to be something that you use and left. Are we together? You know, we say that in English. God doesn't do that. He will use as long as. So it is not, God, don't make me onwelualopati. It is you that should continually be yielded. He will always use you. Look at how many people in the world are wallowing in darkness. He needs more men. He sees the laborers are few, the harvest is plenty. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that they will send forth more what? Laborers. In Jeremiah chapter 16 and then verse 16, he says, I will send out many fishermen, many hunters to restore my people. Are we together? From the holes of the rocks. Glory to God forevermore. God is in the business of sending people out every day. More people every day. More people every day. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes you hear some people say, oh, and they are complaining. Where are there churches everywhere? Where are there churches plenty everywhere? Where are churches plenty everywhere? Nobody is complaining why hospitals are increasing. Oh, our hospitals not increasing. Are we together? If you move around the streets of Tanke, you will count how many private schools. Including the one that should not be a school. Private schools that we just get room and parlor school. That's beautiful. Are we together? That's excellent. Is it clear? That's excellent. That's excellent. Okay? That's excellent. But you see, nobody is complaining that the schools are plenty. Nobody. Nobody is complaining that more universities are being created. Why are you complaining that there are more churches? See, churches will see too. Is it clear? Will we have more churches everywhere? Is it clear? Will we have more what? Churches everywhere. More churches. More centers. More cells. No. Full of the word. Full of the Holy Ghost. Carrying out discipleship. Reaching the nation. Strengthening believers. Training people. Training missionaries. Are we together? More churches in the villages. More churches in the rural areas. More churches in Muslim nations. Is it clear? Yes, so God will use what he finds. God is that humble. Is that what? Is that meek. He will use what he finds. That is why you find some not fully given to the Lord. So the Lord can't use them much. That means God is still using the little space you give him. Are we together? To tell you how humble God is. Amen. When God wants to address somebody, he addresses him by name, right? He calls him Samuel, isn't it? Right? He looks like Paul. He looks like Paul. He says, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Why is he calling him Paul? Why is he obeying the name that humans have given a human? So he addresses you and he follows an instruction that your parent has given. Call this name, child this name. That is God. He declared he will fill every slot. He will use what he finds. Are you with me, church? So, man is to function in God's plan. So when we say the image of God, the image of God is not referring to our physical appearance. He's not referring to the tone of our voice. Is it baritone? That's the image of God. No. No. Are we together? No. The image of God is not even. So, created us to have emotions just like Him. Just like Him. So, you know, God has emotions. You have to be careful when you're teaching that. Are we together? Are we together? So, the image of God. He's not talking about our biology or our sociology, our mentality. The image of God was understood by the audience of Moses. Because when Moses uses the word image, it is a word in the Greek, it is the word when he says, let us make man in our image. Are we together? And our likeness. Are we there? Let us make man in our image. And then our likeness. Those are two words. Amen. Amen. The word image. What's the word image again? The word telem, T-S-E-L-E-M. Then you have the word, when it says our likeness, the word demuth, D-E-M-U-T-H. Telem, demuth. Those words are temple languages. They are temple languages. Why? Because the audience of Moses were used to activities around the temple. All of the worship in Egypt was temple oriented. So the image, that's the word Selem, is used for, look at this, a representation of a God, a supernatural being which is not seen. Are we together? Then you make a representation of him. A representation of a supernatural being that is not seen. So usually you observe the act of sacrifice and worship is performed to that God through the what? That idol. Is it clear? Or that image. Are we there? Now, when you see idol worshippers, for example, you see someone who creates a stone, or someone who worships and who put a stone or molds an image and begins to bow to it. Now, you should be intelligent to know that the person knows is not the stone he's worshipping. The person knows. But the person is using the stone as a potter. Are we together? As a potter to assess the what? The supernatural. So when he brings the sacrifice, he doesn't take the sacrifice to just any place. He brings the sacrifice to that image. In other words, this is my representation. Are we together? That's the word image. So image is an office. It's a functional word. One that functions in my stead. Are we together? It is the point of interaction. So God is saying, Adam, are we together? Are we together? Sorry, man will be a point of interaction, or man will function in his stead. What does it mean? Man in my image. That means if I have a work to do on the earth, who will function in it? Who will function in it? That is man. The image, your image, is the one who functions in your capacity, in your stead. It functions in your stead. My image functions in my stead. So it's functional word. So when it says in our likeness, in our image, it wasn't saying two hands, two legs. It was saying one who will function in our stead. Are we together? Are we together? So it says, let us make man in our image. Let him have dominion. So man that is functioning in God's capacity is the one that has the dominion. That is why the writer of Hebrews looked at it and said, ah, we don't yet see that dominion fulfilled anywhere. Oh, but we see Jesus. Are we together? We see Jesus. He demonstrates that dominion. But the dominion is no more dominion over fish, fowl, and snake, and serpent, and scorpion, and what's it called? Cockroach, and maggot. The dominion is over the works of Satan, which includes activities of rebellious supernatural beings. Making Moses' mention of different creatures in different categories simply parable, are we together? Of the true dominion. So the dominion that man is meant to have, are we together? The dominion that man is meant to have, amen, amen, will be seen in Christ's dominion. Are we together, church? Will be found in Christ's dominion. The dominion that man is meant to have will be found in Christ's dominion. Will be found in the ministry of Christ, will be found in the life of Christ. That dominion will be traced to Jesus. The dominion that Moses spoke of, that man in the image of God should have, is what Jesus then. Between Jesus and that statement, we see many realities. Is it clear? We see men who has also functioned in God's image. We see men who has functioned as a seed. But you see, it shows us that the perfect display of what Moses spoke about wasn't realized amongst men. Inasmuch as men were raised up to function in that thing. Are we together? But the perfect fulfillment of what is being said was fulfilled in who? In the Christ. Is it clear? Is it clear? Another word that was used by Bible writers to describe the word image was the word son. The word son. Are we together? The word son. You also observe that Jesus was called the son. Are we together? And this is really many times a point of dilemma with a lot of people on evangelism. You go to preach, especially when you are preaching to Muslims. You go to preach and then he says, Jesus is the son of God. And then they feel because they've learned some 1, 2, 3. Are we together? They can argue with you. Sometimes they get argumentative. And then a Muslim has told me before, in fact they've told me severally, maybe over 100 or 1,000 times. I was together, I'm not exact. The Muslim said to me, he says, you say Jesus is God, is it true? I say yes. He says, you also say Jesus is the son of God, is it true? I say yes. He says, you are contradicting yourself. It is not contradictory. It is not contradictory. Is Jesus God? Yes. Is Jesus the son of God? Yes. Then they say things like, you know, they say to Yoruba, God does not born, and you know they born anybody. Are we together? Then I tell someone, I say, he says, God does not give birth. Who told you that God needs a woman to have a son? Are we together? Are we together? Who told you that God needs his seed? Like biology describes the seed of a word, of a man, the sperm. Are we together? The sperm. Are we together? Now, I walked around fishes some time ago. So I know about artificial insemination. Are we together? Of fishes. Where you take the and then you pour it over the eggs. Are we together? And then you see an emergence of a swarm, a school of fishes. Is it clear? Of fries and all that. So look at that. That God needs to perform the man-woman thing before he can have a child. The reason why the word son of God looks odd to you is because you have disconnected your mind from the Old Testament books. Everyone that called Jesus son of God were teaching from the Old Testament. That means there's an Old Testament description of the word son, and it does not mean what you mean by son today in English. That's why I started this conference telling you the Bible is not as English. Look at this. If you are given a material that was written 1,000 years ago to read today, I think it's just common sense that you will want to read it to hear what the audience had heard. You will not use today's language. You will not confer today's grammar on the material that was written when the language you are speaking today was not in existence. Is it clear? It's simple. That's why we use Greek and Hebrew. Because that is the language. Thank God for English, Yoruba. Thank God for Greeks. Bibles in French. Thank God for Bibles in Latin. But there is a language with which God's counsel was communicated. And it is much more than how what you are saying sounds. Language are also attached to cultures. So when you say something about someone in a language, there is a way he hears it that somebody who is not in that language might not have the understanding. Because attached to language is a culture. The culture is a mentality. Mentality is the way things are perceived. So when I say son to that fellow, there's a way you perceive son that might not be what you are thinking today. Because for you today, are we together? A son is a male child, isn't it? Isn't it? But look at Exodus quickly. Exodus chapter 4. I'll say that, then I'll close this morning session. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Exodus chapter 4. Are you in Exodus 4? Glory to God. Glory to God. In Exodus chapter 4. Look at what God does. In Exodus 4, let me find the text for you. It should be 20. In verse 20. No. Are we together? Let me see. Exodus 30. Are we together? Are we together? Exodus what? 4:20 what? Okay, I thought it was 22. Say what? Okay, chapter 4. It's chapter 4. I thought it's Exodus 22. I thought it's, hey, Kebu. Amen. All right. So let's read verse 22 together. Once you go. Did you see that? Israel is my what? Somebody or a people? God calls a whole nation of man, woman, children, son. Maybe God does not know English. It is you that, or it's English that does not know God. Are we together? God doesn't need to learn English. English needs to learn God. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? You know, there are some languages in the world that doesn't have words like forgiveness. They are going to find one. Because the glory of God will fill every tribe. They will now look for a word called forgiveness. They will learn God. Is it clear? Forgiveness. Righteousness. They will learn God. Amen. So God calls the whole nation my son. Wow. That means there's an ideology of sonship. He even calls it my firstborn. That means there will be other sons. Are you with me? That means there will be what? Other sons. Other sons will be other what? Nations. So God calls a nation my son. Son to you today simply implies a male child. Firstborn, first male child. Or firstborn is first child. Are we together? First child, male child. Are we together? He refers to a whole nation. A whole nation. Are we together? Look at the book of Job. So a whole nation, Hosea. Look at Hosea. Look at Hosea. You have to locate Daniel. Are we together? To locate Daniel, you have to locate Ezekiel. Then you locate Daniel. Then you locate Hosea. Hosea 11. Quickly. Are you learning something? Hosea 11 and verse 1. Let's read together. I want to go. Out of Egypt. I called my son out of it. Was it one person God said, Mama, come on. Go. Come by one. Where's your shoe? Ah. Angel, kill him. Help him now. Are we together? God brought a nation, right? Out of Egypt. He calls the nation what? My son. Man, woman, children. All of them. He calls them my son. Are we together? My son. Look at Job. Look at Job. Job. Praise God. The book of Job. In chapter 1. In Job chapter 1. In Job 1. He says. If you look at verse. Let me find it. If you look at verse 1. Have you found it? You found something? Verse what? Look at chapter 2 verse 1. Chapter 2 verse 1. It says, chapter 2 verse 1. Can we take it together? Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. 1 verse 6. Can we take it? Uh-huh. 1 verse 6, what do we have? The sons of God went to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan was also found where? Amongst them. Are we together? That means the sons of God in this text refers to some supernatural beings. Are we there? So it says Satan was found amongst them. He didn't call Satan son of God.
Are we together?
But he said Satan was found amongst,
are we together,
the sons of God who went to present themselves before God. So this way, a group of supernatural beings were also called the sons of God.
Are we together?
Now look at Job 38. Job 38. In Job chapter 38, and then in verse 7. Look at what he says. If you are there, just read. If you are there first, just keep reading. If you get there after, read further. Read further. Did you see that? Verse 7. He says what? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Are we together? So the sons of God were referred to as the morning stars. Two things. He says they sang. He says they shouted. He says there was joy. You know, you see that same thing scenario repeated when Jesus was born. Right? Right? That the shepherds, you don't read your Bibles. Look at the way people don't read their Bibles. Are we together? The shepherds had a supernatural appearance of angels that were singing. Are we together? Because there was joy. Is it clear? That so when Jesus said a sinner repents, there is joy in heaven, that means there's joy amongst what? Angels. That's why you often observe that ministries of soul winners usually enjoy a lot of angelic manifestations. Especially in the areas of signs and wonders and miracles. There is a heavy duty amount of traffic of angelic activities in the ministries that win souls. Is it clear? And the ministry of angels is usually for direction, preservation, and for provision. Are we together? Look at that some other day. Is it clear? Is it clear, church? So the sons of God is used for a group of supernatural beings. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 2, it says the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, talking about supernatural beings. So the term son cannot be used in a blanket way. Each text has to be examined. What are the things called son now? Of that, Adam was also called son of God. So Adam was called son of God. Who else was called son of God? Angels were called sons of God. Who else was called son of God? The nation of Israel was called son of God. Again, Jesus is called what? The son of God. And in fact, all of us today are also called what? Sons of God. So which one is son? So son is a function, is an office. So when we say Jesus is God, Jesus is the son of God. The son of God is to describe the office that God is now functioning in. Are we together? Because that word son is from the word ben in the Hebrew. B-E-N. It is always used for that which takes my responsibility. A son. A son. The one who stands in my stead. So why is Israel called son of God? God has a mission in all the earth. So he picks Israel. Are we together? To carry out that word. Mission. Are we together? What is the mission that God is carrying out in all the world? What he told Abraham. Observe the promise given to Abraham will be for all the earth. But he now told Abraham in the same breath that I will use your seed to fulfill that promise. Are we together? So Abraham's descendant will become God's choice to carry out a plan that he wants to fulfill in all the earth. That is Israel. So Israel begins to function as a son. Why are angels, on the other hand, called sons of God? They are responsible for his activities on the world, on the earth. Is it clear? The angels that carry out God's missions on the earth are called his sons. Is it clear? Why is Jesus called the Son of God? By John the Baptist, and he comes out of the river. Look at it. God says, he says, the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He repeats itself again at the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased with. He says, hear you. So Jesus is called the Son of God. Are we together? Because he will function in God's plan. He will fulfill God's plan. Are we together? He will fulfill God's plan. Amen. So, Jesus is God. When God comes into the flesh, it is to do what? That functioning to carry out his own plan that he had promised since the world began. I told you God couldn't found a perfect vessel. Are we together? So, having worked with many men, he shows up as the perfect vessel to fulfill what he has been calling men to do. Are we together? So that is why Exodus and Genesis continues across the generations of men until he came. He performs the perfect one. He performs the perfect Genesis. He performs the perfect Exodus. Are we together? That is why all the terminologies, all the descriptions were used to describe Moses' activity with Israel in Egypt, were also now employed to describe Jesus' work. Righteousness, to set aright. Are we together? Redemption, to buy back. Deliverance, just like he delivered. Is it clear? Is it clear? So because Jesus becomes the faithful son, was not a faithful son. They were said to be stiff-necked. They backslided severally. So what Israel could not fulfill, Jesus comes as the faithful. He comes as the faithful son. He comes as the faithful firstborn. Though Israel was also called what? Firstborn. Now, what is the firstborn issue? The firstborn concept in the Old Testament book was to describe, look at this, the one who has access to all my resources. Are we together? That's the firstborn. The firstborn. In the Jewish custom, which is also informed by the Oriental culture, the cultures, the idea of the firstborn is of the child that carries on the father's responsibility. In the case of the one who carries out the father's responsibility is described in the Jewish world as the what? As the firstborn. In other words, there are many children, but it is on this particular shoulder that the father's responsibility will fall on. So the firstborn in the Jewish setting, which was the background of Moses' audience, saw the firstborn as the one who has the responsibility of the father. He therefore has the resources of the father deployed to him in a different measure than the rest. Are we together? This is what Elisha was requesting from Elijah when he said, give me the double portion. Are we together? The double portion was taught by Moses as the inheritance of the firstborn. Usually, this is what it does. Moses instructed in the land that, hey, if there is a man that has given birth to children, let's say he has 5 sons. He says, the 4 sons, when inheritance are being allocated, the 4th son must always get the double portion. The reason is because he gets not only the resources of the father, but also the liabilities of the father. If the father had committed an offense or had owned debt, when the man dies, if you go read the law very well, the debts of the father is requested from the first child. In fact, sometimes the first child is sent on what's it called, exile, that is slavery, to serve the terms of the man. Are we together? That had died. Are we together? That was one of the reasons why, you know, the widow was very pained. One of the widows of the sons of the prophet, that the husband had died. He says, hey, he says he has left many debts, so, because the son will follow. Are we together? So Elisha had to tell her to go get, what's it called? Pulse. Are we together? All right. So he multiplied or paid the debt. So the idea of the firstborn is that this is the one that takes my responsibility. Now, because of the responsibility, he also has double inheritance. Is it clear? If you go read your Old Testament very well, that is the concept of the firstborn. So Israel was called my son Because he would act on God's stead, is also called the what? The firstborn. Because the bulk of God's work on the earth was placed on that nation. But Israel failed. So Jesus shows up to now be called both the what? The Son, and also the what? The firstborn. And his church called the Church of the Firstborn. Hebrews chapter 12. Are we together, church? So when you are called the Church of the Firstborn, is a reflection of an assignment. Because we therefore that are born again are called the sons of God today, because God's work on the earth was rests on our shoulders. So next time you say I'm a son of God, say it with understanding. What you are saying is, his work is on my shoulders. I fulfill his work on the earth. That is the biblical meaning of son. Is it clear? Is it clear? That is the biblical meaning of the word son. The one who takes responsibility for me. That is, when I'm not on ground, he continues the mission. That is why he has my resources. So what is the resource, church? We're going to see it in the afternoon. The resource of the Spirit. Is it clear? So he puts his Spirit in your heart to continue his work. Many Christians don't know, before my close, why they have the Holy Ghost. Why do we have the Holy Ghost? Observe what Jesus said. He says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. Oh, the Holy Ghost is to make you busy for him. It is the spirit of his mission. The first time we saw the Holy Ghost, he was hovering over the dark waters to restore men to God. He can't be in your heart doing something else today. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to work for God. Tell neighbor, say, work for God. So I said yesterday, we are saved to what? To serve. Any Christian who is not serving God today is living a wasted life. That is the purpose of salvation. Look at what it says. Let my people go. Right? Right? That they may what? They may serve me. Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. Let my people go. That statement, that phrase, let my people go, that they may serve me, occurred more than 10 times in the first three chapters of Exodus. It was an emphatic instruction. Emphatic instruction. And that instruction was actually Moses' doctrine. It was emphatic in the doctrine of Moses. That, hey guys, as God is revisiting you to as he is going to take you from Egypt, he is bringing you as to what? To serve him. The service will be where? Among all the nations. So he calls Israel to do what Adam failed at. Dress and keep the garden. Spread my plan in all the earth. Are we together? Israel also failed. So he calls. So you know why he's the Son of God now. You know why he's the Son of God now. So God himself, the Yahweh, the very one who spoke to Abraham, he was the same person who spoke to Isaac in the ladder at Bethel. Are we together? He was the same person that was with Abraham. He was the same person who saw Moses. He now comes in the flesh. What do you think he will be doing? He will be doing the Genesis plan. Are we together? So when we are now said to be saved and brought into him, what do you think we will be doing? What will you think we will be doing? So the work of God is soul winning, not drama. But yeah, I have a drama ministry. You have not found ministry. And I'm not saying that to spite anybody. I'm saying let us focus on what God, and not find one that we find we say we want to do. Are we together? The ones we choose to do really doesn't get to solve issues. It only occupies us. The one God told us to do is the one that provides what? The answer. Oh, my own ministry is choreography. My own ministry is choreography. Don't say my own ministry. Some say, I've not been called to preach. God has told me. God has told me. See, all this God told me. Many times it's nonsense. When you find a Christian that is full of God told me, it is nonsense. Is it clear? God will tell you something that is contrary to the explanation of scriptures. That is contrary to the conclusion of the scriptures. He can't tell you. Don't tell it yourself. Just say, I feel. Never say God said what he did not say. You can say, I feel. You can say, I perceive. You can say, I think. Are we together, church? So God saves Israel to worship by spreading his faithfulness among the nations. Are we together? That is the restoration. So can we say Israel will also be a form of a seed? But were they the faithful seed? No. Can we say Israel was a form of a son of God? But were they a faithful son? Were they a faithful son? Did Israel function in the image of God? Did Adam function in the image of God? No. Jesus functioned in the image of God. So look at me today. If you say you are in the image of God, where are your disciples? If you say that you are in the image of God, the prayer life that is helping soul winning works. You are in the image of God. Is your knowledge of the word of God that will bring the unsaved men that are suchish, smart to do evil, foolish, no good in them. They are not worshippers of God. Where is what you are doing to stir up the passion of serving God in the life of others? Are you sure you are in that image? Are we together, church? So the image of God, the seed of the woman, the seed of man, of God, the Son of God, are all functional terms used to describe man functioning in God's plans and purposes in his locality, in his world. So in your world there are men who should hear the gospel. How am I the image of God? I'm spreading the gospel. Spreading the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Ministering to the sick. Doing the works of Jesus. That is why Jesus said, he that believes in me, hallelujah. He says, the works that I shall do also. That means, how do we know the works of Jesus? Any Christian who is not doing the works of Jesus, is not something you craft out for yourself. The works of Jesus are the things we saw Jesus do. Are we together? We saw Jesus pray. Did we see him pray? We saw Jesus teaching the word. Did we see him teaching the word? We saw Jesus healing the sick. Did we see him healing the sick? We saw Jesus going after the lost. Did we see him going after the lost? Did you see Jesus sharing food? Did you see Jesus sharing food? Did Jesus hold a campaign and what he was sharing is food? 10 bags of Indomie under the bridge. Is that Jesus? We must not let a backsliding life define what ministry is for us. We must go into the scriptures. So I told you yesterday, the second thing you must not assume is what? What God has asked you to what? To do. Because now you will be busy. You will spend time. You will spend your life. There will be no reward. You did very effectively what God never asked you to do. That will not be my portion. So this morning we prayed against the distractions, right? Distractions. No distractions. That is what I mean. No distractions. No distractions. Things that looks like serving God, but it is not serving God. Are we together? Preaching the gospel is not being an area mama. area. They say, oh, it's my school mother, school father. No. Preaching the gospel. It's getting myself functioning in the image of God. We're going to see it in the afternoon. How will Israel function in the will of God? How will they function? The moment they came out of Egypt, the next thing Moses does is that he gives them the Ten Commandments. That shows you that the Ten Commandments were given by God. Are we together? Are we together? Now notice, you know, the word commandment is what gets you. Notice Moses did not name them, right? He didn't name them. He also didn't number them, right? So we can call them 10 words. 10 words that the worship of God will be built on. 10 words. And the first one, he says, you will not worship any other God. That is faith. The second one, he speaks about remembering the Sabbath. The Sabbath is another concept in the Old Testament. Today people are wondering, is the Sabbath a Sunday? Is the Sabbath a Saturday? And they completely miss out the concept of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day of the week. Are we together? It is in those idol worshipping community that they saw a particular day, the seventh day, seven. The use of seven, are we together, was from that culture. So they were already dedicating the seventh day to the worship of their gods. So God told Moses, in your own seventh day, it will be to remember what I have done. Not to worship other gods as the people have been used to. He turns their hearts away from the worship of idols to commitment and worship to him. So the second of those law says to remember the Sabbath. The Sabbath has to do with the rest of God. The rest of God is God's work, God's labor, which you will rest in. God's assignment, which you will walk in. What God does. So he says to Israel, the first thing is that you will have faith in me. The second is that you will remember my works. Then the third, he says, you walk in love. You will not hurt your neighbor. Are we together? You will not hurt your neighbor. You will not see what hurts your neighbor and hangs around it and allows it. It's in the preaching of the gospel. Are we together, church? It shows you something as I close this afternoon or this morning, that we all have a ministry to reach the world around us. Are we together? That ministry is called functioning in the image of God. Is it clear? That ministry is called Son of God, walking as sons of God. That ministry, are we together, is called functioning as God's seed in our world, in our localities, in our environment. This is what this conference is built on. To help you to see that ministry without any form of obstruction in your sight, and to supply every needed supernatural enablement that helps you to move, to walk, to fulfill that ministry without distractions. Hallelujah. See, I have the Spirit of God in my heart.